Welcome to another edition of the Friar Phil Show. As I knock the microphone and everything else off the table, almost. That's no fun. How you guys been doing? I know I've missed you for the last 2 weeks. If you didn't hear on my Twitter account, I had a little accident with my wheelchair. The lift didn't go down all the way, and I went backwards, and I went flying off the back of it and hit the back of my head. So it's taken a couple of weeks to get over the sleepiness and the side effects of the concussion I gave myself. But all better now, able to stay awake during a podcast, and it's a good thing because we're going to be playing the Los Angeles Dodgers for the last time in the regular season starting tomorrow, and I thought it would be another great time to bring on Mr. Mark onto the program to talk to us about the Dodgers and what's happening with them, and giving us a little bit of inside information. Hi, Mark.
How's it going today, Phil?
Oh, it's going. It's always best when things are going.
Thank you for having me back. I didn't know if I was going to get re-invited there.
Last time. Well, you did good the last time. There wasn't anything wrong.
The show was great. You were fantastic. Unfortunately, our teams took two different paths after the last time you and I talked. But I know we'll dive into that. I got some notes and I know you got questions for me for the Dodgers, and I wanted to ask you how your feelings are on some of the things that have developed this year with San Diego.
Okay, we can start with San Diego then and your questions.
Well, I made a couple of notes just when you got invited. You know, I want to be prepared for what's coming at me with the Padres and some of the questions I had. Amazingly, you and I spoke last on June the 29th, which was kind of an important day because that was right before big series. San Diego was coming up to LA, mm-hmm. game and a half out of first place. It looked like both teams were just going to kind of slug it out for the rest of the year. And honestly, when we spoke, that's how we thought the series was going to go. That we thought, well, you know, we'd probably get a split, a 2-2 split, or somebody, maybe even San Diego might even take a 3-1, series that weekend. But it ended up being the Dodgers 3-1, almost a sweep if it wasn't for Kimbrel blowing it in the last game. But from that time period, you know, I looked it up and San Diego has gone 38-36 since that time. And unfortunately for the Dodgers, or, you know, fortunately for me as a Dodger fan, we went 59-19 in that same time period.
what a difference.
Yeah. And so that's where we currently sit now, where, you know, the Dodgers have wrapped up the division and the 21-game lead and all that kind of stuff. But all of that doesn't matter. It's not going to matter because I have full confidence that I know San Diego is going to get there as well. I really do. Out of the three teams that are still vying to get in, I'm the most confident with San Diego. As far as Philadelphia and Milwaukee, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't even know if Philadelphia is going to be able to hang on to that third spot.
We will see.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, what have you thought so far this year of San Diego season?
Well, I just couldn't believe it after we talked, and we were a game and a half, you know, right at the back door of the Dodgers. and all of a sudden, we started to suck, especially after the trade deadline, where we gave away some of our good prospects, you know, for two guys that haven't really impressed me all that much. I'll get to that in a little bit. So far this season, and even the manager hasn't impressed me too much up until recently. He finally had enough. You know, he's one of these guys that are a nice guy. I think he's a real nice guy. And he doesn't like to spread negativity around the clubhouse. But one of the things he did a couple of days ago was had a player-only meeting, and he let them have it. And apparently he must have laid out a few of the people that are players there and the whole group to begin with. You know, when we started going downhill again after we talked in June, you know, it was like bad memories from last year.
Right.
And I just didn't see that intensity with these people. Yeah, we were losing games. You know, people get into slumps and stuff like that, but there wasn't any real intensity with these players. You know, like they want to maybe beat the Dodgers and win the division, that maybe they want to go to the World Series or the playoffs. So after Bob Mel said something to them, all of a sudden they started playing really good. And we were losing to teams like, you know, Arizona Diamondbacks, the Colorado Rockies, and it was just absolutely ridiculous. We were better than most of these teams we played, and we just laid back and died.
And yeah, that's what really pissed me off. Colorado seemed to have your guys' number this year for some reason. They just seemed to, you know, they just seemed to match up.
Every year it's like that. I think I told Gabriel, I think somebody that's a witch. No offense to wishes over any place, but a witch put some kind of curse on the Padres at Coors Field. Mm-hmm. And luckily, the other day, the curse was lifted, and we beat the hell out of them like we should be doing at Coors Field.
Yeah, Coors Field, you never know what you're going to get. You never know whether you're going to get yourself a 5-4 game, or it could be kind of like what you guys ended up being with the going into double digits, and it's almost like a softball game. So.
Oh yeah, it's like whoa. So yeah.
It'll be. The one thing I can tell you, I'm looking forward to in 2023 is not having to play so many division games. I mean, yeah, we're going to spread it out amongst every team next year. You get to play everybody at least one series. So I'm excited for that. I'm glad that they're actually reducing the division games. We're going from 19 down to 13 each time. And it's going to actually make those games feel a little more important. And I think they're going to carry a little more value to them. So,
yeah, I agree. I totally am looking forward to how that's going to play out next season.
Yeah, when you speak of your downward spiral after All-Star break, I did some more numbers. Like I said, I took some notes. You know, Josh Hader, unfortunately, is 9.49 since the trade. Soto, who is your big acquisition and was supposed to be the guy that was going to carry you forward. He's only batted .242. He's got 36 hits and 26 Ks since then. Josh Bell is 191. Even Drury, when he came on, I mean, I know he was hitting good against the Dodgers, and then unfortunately he got hit in the face with a pitch. But he's 226 since he's been there. And you're saving grace this year. And honestly, the guy, you know, if they ask you what is an MVP, it's been Machado.
Oh,
he's
obviously
been your guy. He's been your guy this year. So.
And, you know, these guys were trying, but it wasn't fair to Machado to make him carry the team. Yeah, he's the team captain, but everybody has to contribute. And they were showing the same old problems they had, you know, with managers like Ting Ding when he was there. The one before Andy Green, that dumb bastard, I didn't like him at all. And the problem was, you know, we had somebody on base, runners in scoring position, and instead of getting a timely hit, they would try to hit that big hit, the big home run, to catch up, and they kept doing that shit. And then finally, I think this might have been another thing that Bomell addressed in the players-only, team-only with the manager meeting. May have been one of the things he talked to them about as well, because in the last few games, they've been doing a lot better with not leaving people on base, taking advantage of scoring opportunities. And yeah, you know, people say, well, you just play, you know, the Rockies. Of course it's easy to do that.
You learn to do that because that's how the playoffs are going to be. You're not going to get these Coors Field 13-6 scores in the playoffs.
You're not.
As much as the Dodgers look as big and as gaudy as we are, and we got a 300 run differential right now, it can all go away very quickly because, you know, we've done this. You know, we won 104 games in 2017. We went to the World Series and you know, lost, you know, with an asterisk, and then, you know, turn around and we won 106 games in 2019. We won 106 games last year in 2021, and both times we exited out of the playoffs, you know, to a team that we should have honestly beaten, but we just tried. Like you said, you get guys on base and you're trying to do the old Earl Weaver 3-run bomb,
right?
and it doesn't work. So
you've got to play baseball the way it was meant to be played.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to take the extra bases, you got to hit behind runners, you got to, you know, scoring fly balls, that kind of stuff. That's how you cash in. And I even wonder, I mean, I've always wanted to ask this question, and I guess it's a question that a lot of people have on their mind. If, let's say, San Diego had beaten the Dodgers in 2020, and they had moved on to the next round, they beat the Braves, and then they go on and win their first title ever, San Diego's world champions of 2020, would you, as the Padre fan, would you feel like that was a Mickey Mouse championship?
No, because they would have played to win. They didn't sit back and expect the games to be handed to them. So in that kind of scenario, they would have played. Oh, well, there we go. That was nice. breaking news from ESPN. It looks like, I'm not sure what that is. It has to do with the Cowboys and Giants, but we don't need that right now, do we? And we don't care about football on this program. Okay, where was I now?
Before? We were talking about the 2020 championship. If the Padres had won the 2020 World Series, would you have considered that a Mickey Mouse championship that we, as Dodger fans, we get accused of all the time that, oh, you won the title. Yeah, but it was Mickey Mouse. You only had to play 60 games, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't the Dodgers' fault that we only played 60 games. That was COVID's fault.
Right. You know? Right, and so, everybody played 60 games.
Yeah, everybody had the equal amount of games to play. So, you know, I just think that was just bitter anti-Dodger people coming up with that crap. And like I said, if the Padres had won it and gone all the way, I wouldn't want to call it a Mickey Mouse win either. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those things. Dodger fans are obviously, we're still very bitter about what happened with Houston, and when it first came out, and Houston was accused of the cheating exercises that they were doing, I was still one of those Dodger fans that said, well, you know what though, we still lost two games at home. I mean, we lost game two and we lost game seven. Those were two road games for the Astros, and we should have done better. And then come to find out later on, it spills out that no, they were doing it also on the road as well, too. It wasn't just the home games that they were doing it. And so, yeah, you do feel like, okay, part of it, that is a tainted championship, in my opinion, that they did what they did. And in everybody's reply to that, which is usually Astro fans that say this, is that, oh, well, the 2020 title is a Mickey Mouse title because you guys played 60 games.
Two separate things. Nobody was nobody was cheating in 2020.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference. Nobody hung around garbage cans in 2020. Astros fans, so
and I have to think, and you probably remember this too, that was a hard playoff time to get through, because you had to get through the extra rounds. I mean, like we're gonna have to do this year obviously too, but you had to get through that extra rounds. I know San Diego had to play St. Louis, we had to play Milwaukee, and then we met up, and then they went on to go play Atlanta, and it was like, okay, you could have had a stumble, you know, before that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could have been, it could very easily have been different in that very first round. So,
well, you know, we were very excited, obviously, you know, when we beat St. Louis, and a barrage of comments from Dodger fans had to say, look, they're celebrating the World Series, you know. Yeah. And to me, that annoyed me just as much as it annoys me with Padres fans or any other fans or Houston fans saying that the 2020 championship was a Mickey Mouse championship. Mm-hmm. And earlier today, this afternoon, I was looking for a picture for the podcast, and there was one that said, oh, what the hell did it say now? I can't remember. Oh, I'm getting old. Anyhow, it had LA in there, but it indicated losing, and mm-hmm. the loss, of course, is the pitchers that you guys have lost to injury. And I said, you know, there's a little bit of karma for y'all. You know, karma is mm-hmm. a bitch, and it really is.
Yeah.
To all the people that were out there that were making fun of the Padres
mm-hmm.
when our pitchers started going down that mm-hmm. year. You know, of course, I got a bunch of comments from Dodger fans saying, well, I never did that. Well, I never said you did it in particular. I'm right. saying it was done, you know. And if right. you were a Padres fan, you would have seen that. So finally, right. I got tired of it, and I just deleted the tweet. But the point of that is I can really understand what it's like for Dodger fans to hear that crap about the 2020 championship, because mm-hmm. we heard crap ourselves, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember that time period in Twitter, and it was when you were excited, you won your first round series, you moved on, and they, you know, people were giving Padre fans a hard time because, look, they're celebrating like this is the only thing they've ever won and this and that. Well, you know, okay, some teams have had the benefit of winning things. Some teams, this is new to them and it's exciting. But, you know, every team going into this playoffs in 2022 is going to be very dangerous, because it really doesn't matter how many wins you have during the regular season. Everybody starts at zero. So, so, you know, as evident to what the Dodgers did last year, we won 106 games. San Francisco, with the smoke and mirrors, won 107, we ended up having to go up there and play them, and basically exhausted ourselves to the point that when we did finally beat them, and we had to play Atlanta, we were toast. We were toast, and we were in a division winner, so Atlanta had the home field advantage. And you know, that's very possible that could be something like that again this year, where, yeah, it may look like the Mets have been great all year. Yeah, it may have been looking like the Dodgers have been dominating all year, but, you know, it just, you never know what's going to happen with playoffs. I mean, Atlanta had 86 wins last year, guys, and they won the World Series. So.
Well, yeah. Yeah, even with the Padres in 2020, you know. Yeah. On paper, it looked fairly good, you know, after we mm-hmm. played St. Louis and we were going to play the Dodgers. It looked pretty good on paper until what, Clevenger's elbow bothered him and something happened to Nelson Lamet. And all of a sudden, the pitching just went right down the toilet. And that really affected the team. So you never know when stuff like that's going to happen. With the Dodgers now, you've got Dustin May, who's just recently put on the IL, Walker Buehler, and Tony Gosselin. Yeah. Now, the thing with Tony Gosselin, I see he's doing a AAA game today. Do you think there's a possibility of him coming to play the Padres on Sunday? Because looking at the lineups for the next 3 days, we've got Tyler Anthony?
Yeah, we got Anderson, Anderson tomorrow.
Tyler Anderson, excuse me. And then there's Julio Urias. And there's TBA for both.
Yeah, TBA. The Dodgers.
The Dodgers and for the Padres now.
Right, and right now we're carrying a couple of guys that should be playing right now in our AAA team, pitching wise, and I know they've been doing some piggyback starts, doing the opener and that kind of stuff. So,
right.
For the most part, I think Dave Roberts knows we've got. We won the division. We're pretty much number one in the National League. As much as everybody wants us to break this franchise record of 106 wins, which is what we're currently sitting at, he knows that going into the playoffs, having everybody healthy, everybody fully rested, everybody ready to go, that's more important than anything else right now. And the thing with Dustin May, and they talked about it on the Dodgers telecast the other night, is that it's not an arm-related issue with him. So he just came off of Tommy John surgery. So it's not an arm-related issue, but it's his lower back. And they're saying he was probably stressing his back out in a way to compensate for his arm. So so when you do that, when you take advantage of one body part to the other, it doesn't do very well. But we still have a mystery when it comes to guys whether or not they're actually going to be able to make it back. I mean, it's like every week we get told that Blake Treinen's going to come back, and then no, he's not, and that it's not progressing the way we want it to, and so you don't know what's going on with that. Kimbrel just got demoted, as far as he is not going to close games for us for a while.
Oh yeah, I read that.
And he came in the other day in the sixth inning in a kind of a who cares kind of inning, just to get some work. That was one that was a little mystery to us at the beginning of the season. I know all of us Dodger fans were kind of scratching our heads, like, why are we doing this? But it was because we had AJ Pollock. He wanted to play more. He was kind of tired of being a platoon player, and they sent him away. And I think they suspected that something was going to go wrong with Blake Treinen, and that's why we got another reliever. But unfortunately, it's not. It's hard to say that. Oh well, it didn't pan out the way we wanted it to, because we've had a lot of games go our way, obviously. So, but nobody's going to cry for injuries or who's not there and that kind of stuff. And San Diego season could be completely different if the guys you had acquired would actually have performed the way they were supposed to. You got your big gun back. If he wouldn't, if he hadn't had his troubles, you never know where San Diego would be at. We should be battling it out to the end of the season right now on who's going to win the division if everybody was there. So,
such is baseball.
Exactly.
I'm looking at the games that are being played today, and right now as we're talking, the Yankees are playing, and they're going to the top of the fifth inning, but I don't think Aaron Judge has hit 61 yet, so I'm keeping an eye on that as well. Mm-hmm. Boy, I got something for that, too, from people, And some of these people were Padres fans when I posted something about Albert Pujols getting up to 700. You know, it's like, can you get over yourself for a minute, you know, and just look at it like, wow, this is baseball history.
Exactly.
I mean, with Ohtani, we were watching baseball history all season. Now we have Pujols getting his 700th.
Yep.
And Judge in New York working on going past, not tying, but going past Roger Maris's 61 home runs in a season. And mm-hmm. when I post something about that, I'll probably get the same response. Who cares about the Yankees?
Well, yeah. it's baseball history, and it's stuff that you're not going to see every year, and that's what makes it so special. And then the fact that you want to put a cherry on top of that with Aaron Judge, he has the possibility of winning the Triple Crown.
Yeah,
which that doesn't happen very often. So
no, he doesn't.
So I mean, it's not all about him. He's just hitting 60 something home runs, and then and that's it. It's all boom or bust. No, he's actually. He's got a good average. He's driving in runs, and he's playing a pretty decent outfield. So, there's a lot of little caveats to all of this that it is baseball history. And then the beautiful, intriguing thing about all of this is the guy is a free agent after this year. So,
mm-hmm.
where is he going?
I mean, is he going to stay a Yankee, or is he going to go?
Yeah, he already turned down one offer, supposedly, from the Yankees. So where does he go? I mean, who benefits from his bat? And
the Dodgers, probably.
I don't. Yeah, and it's one of those where, of course, as a Dodger fan, you're like, yeah, we want everybody, mm-hmm. But at the same time, you kind of don't want everybody because you end up putting yourself in a position to where you need to have some of these guys that are reclamation projects, and you need to have some of these guys that are a little more affordable to play every day, and we know what's coming up on the backside of all this as far right. as you're going to have to pay some of these guys. Walker Buehler eventually is going to need a contract. Will Smith's going to eventually need a contract. It's like you can't put it all into Aaron Judge and then just hope that everybody else takes the good old boy Dodger discount just because they want to stay there. So
kind of like what we did with Soto and Bell.
Yeah.
As that went along, that annoyed me. Well, the thing that annoys me the most, though, is when we make these trades and stuff, we trade people that are mediocre playing with the Padres, and they go to another team and they shine. I mean, we have Urias, who's with the Milwaukee Brewers now, and he's doing fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've got Ty France up in Seattle. We just got rid of C.J. Abrams. And he's playing regular shortstop for the Washington Nationals and doing mm-hmm. fine. And we got Soto and Bell, and they couldn't hit the goddamn ball to save their lives.
Right. And I actually, in my note-taking, I wanted to mention to you, because I wanted to soften the blow a little bit on your trade deadline deals, Hosmer has only played 12 games with Boston. So, he's either been hurt or something. I don't really know. I don't follow the Red Sox that much. But he's only played 12 games with them. Luke Voit has had 56 Ks in 43 games played in Washington. So, it was almost one of those that's like, well, all right.
All right, yeah.
It's okay. Kind of good that they're gone because they're not. They wouldn't have really done anything for San Diego anyway. So,
yeah.
Do you feel like the whole thing, let's rewind all the way back to the trade deadline, when Hosmer spoke up and said, no, I don't want to go, do you think that that's when it kind of got a little clunky after that for the Padres this year?
Well, yeah, because he threw a wrench into what they wanted to do.
Right.
I don't want to go there. Oh, you sissy baby bastard. Go where they send you. I don't even remember where. Oops, excuse me. I don't even remember where they were sending him now.
He was going to go to Washington because I was going to be...
Oh, Washington, of course. That's, yeah,
he was going to go to Washington. And, of course, Washington is you know, they're in the bottom. They're not good. But now look at where Boston is at as well. They're right at the bottom of the AL East as well. So it was like, you know.
Boy, I'm forgetting a lot of things. I think I hit my head on the concrete a little bit harder than they said I did. Jesus.
Yeah.
So having Alzheimer moments all during the program. Now,
that's what I'm here for, Phil. I'm your stat man. I will be your stat.
That's good. That's good. I need one of those. Fortunately, things have gotten better, though, in the last week with Soto.
Yeah.
He's been getting timely hits, home runs, and playing like I expected him to play.
And you probably would love to have this now. It'd be one thing if he came out of the gate red hot and then now all of a sudden he's slumping going in towards what would be the playoffs now. But now that he's getting hot before the playoffs, this is what you
want
to see.
Yeah, this is what you want.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Bell to get hot.
And again, that's just it. Like, you get hot in October, you can go a long way. You know, Washington in 2019 got hot in October. They went all the way, won the whole thing. And, you know, Atlanta, same thing. Like I said last year, Atlanta only won 86 games. They got hot in October and they went all the way. So,
yeah, you never know. That's why I tell people, don't be cocky. Yeah, especially Dodger fans. Don't be cocky. Don't be cocky when you come to our stadium with other Padres fans. You know, you might get smacked in the puss. you know, you just can't get cocky about these things, you know, when it comes to sports and baseball, because like we've said the whole program, you don't know what's going to happen. You can't look into a crystal ball and say, well, this is going to be the score of game one, and now here's the score of game two. You know, you don't have Miss Cleo sitting there saying, darling, the Dodgers will win game three. For those of you that are old enough to remember who Miss Cleo was. So you don't know what's going to happen. You know, could we get really hot in October and go a lot farther than people think? Yes, I believe we have a team that can do that.
Mm-hmm. And I just hope for you. I think for the Padres, I think you need to stay in that second spot, that second wild card spot. That way you do get to host those games, those first couple of games. And you don't have to go, you know, to somewhere else. You're not traveling to an East Coast team, that kind of stuff. I think being in a number two spot is going to help you guys a whole lot. So I think the team above you, Atlanta, is kind of, you know, even though they're going to be the number one wild card, they still have to go to what's looking like, what is it now? They're going to end up having to go to St. Louis to play them. Right. So.
And you don't even know what's going to happen with that race with the Mets and Atlanta. Right. You know, Atlanta could get hot again the next couple of weeks, and Mets could suck, and they could switch places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's still a chance they can win the division, too. So, I mean, it's they could end up switching places, and everybody's been talking about how, oh, the Mets. Well, guess what? Now the Mets are a wild card team.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep.
So what do you think?
Braves are doing good today. 8-0.
What do you think about some of these new things that are coming out next year, 2023? They've got some rule changes that are coming. So what do you think about those?
Okay, throw one or two of them at me at a time.
So the big one obviously is the shifting. There's going to be no more shifting anymore. And shifting on the defense. So that means you have to have two guys on the infield on each side of second base. And not only do you have to have them on each side of second base, everybody's got to have their feet on the dirt, you know, on what would be the, what you call the cut of the grass, I guess, or the infield dirt.
Right.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that one? We'll tackle them one at a time. So what do you think of that one?
I kind of like the shift. Because it gives you a little bit more advantage knowing which hitter is coming up, you know, where to place yourself. But then again, you know, being an old-timer, I kind of like it without the shift as well. It makes it more interesting baseball. It makes you have to hustle a little bit more. So, I'm not going to miss the shift.
I'm not going to miss the shift, but at the same time, I feel like we're catering to people that never learned out how to hit the ball the other way. Never learned, you know, never did what Tony did for many years and go through that hole right there. You know, that 5-5 hole, as they called it.
Right.
And I would have loved to have seen Tony Batten this modern day with the shifting, and he would probably just laughed at you like, oh really, you're gonna give me all of that?
I could see him doing that,
and Freddie Freeman kind of does the same thing. He laughs at it like, really, you're gonna give me all that? Okay, well guess what, where do you think I'm gonna go? So I find it funny that they decided to do that. I found it interesting on top of that was that they are making everybody keep their feet on the dirt, so you can't have that second baseman
you know,
way back there like in shallow right field fielding balls, even though he's on the correct side of the base. I don't know, I guess it is one of those things where Major League Baseball is trying to generate more offense and they want more runs, and I get all that. I get it, but
I think playing without the shift kind of makes it more interesting for the fan too.
Mm-hmm.
Because there can be more plays that are just not ground out. You know.
Well, I think you're going to get more. I think you're going to get more guys hitting the ball back up through the middle, and you're going to get the reward of a single now. Whereas right now you have somebody standing there. So
yeah, and just Trent Grisham just standing there waiting to catch it. Usually, when
you smoke one by the pitcher up the middle, you're thinking, "Oh, I got a hit," and then look, there's somebody standing there, and it's like, "Oh, well, that's not." Okay, what are you doing here? So, and then the next one is they're increasing the size of the bases, and the reason why they're doing that is because they want to try and get more stolen bases. They want to get guys to try and stretch out, you know, going first to third a little more often, or maybe even going second to home on closer plays. So, what do you think of that?
I don't know if a bigger base is going to be a big improvement for the players.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
another aspect of what they were looking at with the bigger bases as well is they're trying to cut down possible collisions, obviously, at first base. They're trying to get guys to not have they slide in and then they might come off for half a millisecond and that kind of thing. I think they're trying to get it so that you slide into the base, you can anchor, you can get into the base, that kind of thing. And,
right.
I
think if you touch the base and you're not tagged out, you should be safe, even if you come off of it for a millisecond, you know.
Yeah.
You can't control that. That's just you're going at a certain speed and you dive down and you're going to go as fast as nature will let you go, you know, with a uniform on and sand.
Right.
So, yeah, I've always been somebody that didn't like the fact that, you know, he slipped off a millimeter and he got tagged and he's out.
Right, yeah. And that's what exactly what the replays have been used for a lot, I've noticed this year, is the close, oh, he slid off, but I kept the tag on him the entire time. And because of that, now his momentum took him off for half a heartbeat, and now he's out. it's one of those things. It's kind of like I know you say we don't talk about football in this program, but I'm going to make a football reference here.
Football reference is okay.
Yeah, it's the coming in to make a tackle and you're trying to slow yourself up and you know, you still get called for that personal foul because you even though I'm going all out when the whistle's, you know, until the whistle blows and you accidentally bump into somebody, and next thing you know, you're getting a 15-yard penalty on you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. I guess the silly things transcend all sports, you know, football, baseball, soccer, you name it.
And then the last one, I think the biggest one was the pitch clock. What do you think of a pitch clock for pitchers? Oh,
God, yes.
Yeah, and they've been using that in the minor leagues this year, and I can it came with not only as a pitch clock, but also they had the ability in minor league baseball this year to correct an error, and meaning like if there's a pitch and it was clearly a strike, the umpire missed it, the robo ump then makes the change almost instantly, like nope, that's actually a strike, and it seemed to work really well with minor league games, but I don't know how major league players are going to take it. I don't know if they like it because maybe it's going to be a little more consistent, or I don't know.
Well, you would think they would, like it because it would be more consistent. I mean, what do players get pissed off the most about?
Right,
a ball way out of the fucking zone being called a strike. So now you have something that automatically tells you if it's right or wrong. You don't have to go through all the mess of, chattering and chirping to the umpires. You just get a correction right there. And the pitching clock is a great idea.
Yeah.
Because you've got some of these people that pitch that are slow. And I mean slow. They've got to fiddle around, walk around the mound, and kick their spikes, and then, talk into their glove for a minute and get all set. And this is taking, 45 seconds or so. But that's a long time to sit in between pitches if you're the batter. And even if you're the viewer of the game, you're like, well, come on, let's get on with it, This is like watching televised golf. I need you to move a little bit quicker,
Yeah. And I know that's their plan and their goal for that is to keep the interest, especially with the younger viewers, because the attention span for the games can be, if it drags on too long, or if it takes too long for in between pitches, they tend to lose interest, and they're like, baseball's slow, baseball's boring, I don't like it, and that kind of stuff. And the other part that comes with that too is the throwing over to bases as well. I guess you can only throw to first base a couple times, and if I think it's like if you throw three in a row without throwing a pitch, then that's considered a balk next year. So, So you can only throw over there like twice, and then you have to throw a pitch, and then you can throw over there again after you made that pitch. But there's no more of this, we're going to play chicken back and forth, trying to keep the runner close like you used to have in the olden days. And, again, I think they're trying to generate more guys trying to steal bases again, too. So,
yeah. All in all, I think they're positive changes. As we're speaking right now, Aaron Judge is up to bat again.
Oh, here we go.
He's
everybody's
two,
on, we're
yeah,
on Judge
on
Watch.
Judge Watch, and he's 2-2 right now. Two balls, two strikes. And he should have three balls because he swung at ball two. Oh, I hate that. When they're clearly almost in the dirt and these guys swing at him. But I guess it looks like it's a hittable pitch to them. Mm-hmm. They're playing the Blue Jays, by the way.
Yeah, and it's one of those, I think if they beat the Blue Jays tonight, they clinch their division, because I think it's their number is two, but obviously if they win and they beat them, that's the two. So they could possibly wrap up their division tonight. Mm-hmm. So,
well, he swung at crap again, and he struck out. So we can forget about Judge hitting 61 on my program.
Do you do you have a preference as a Padre fan of who you guys play in the playoffs? Would you rather play Philly, or would you rather play Milwaukee?
Philly has been doing fairly good.
Yeah.
Recently.
Well, they just ended a 3-for-10 stretch. So they won 3 of their last 10. So they've kind of scuffled a little bit. And that's kind of what put Milwaukee back in it, honestly. So
I don't know. That's a hard question, because we can do good with either team.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia, probably.
Yeah, I think Philly. I think because it's one of those where maybe Philly hasn't been there as often as much as Milwaukee's been there. You know, they haven't advanced as far as they would like to have gone. I mean, I know we played them in the NLCS and in 18, which basically it took everything we had to beat them. And but you know, they've been there. You know, they played in the wild card game against Washington the very next year in 19. I know that 20 we had to play them. And 21, I think they won the division last year, 21. But been there, whereas Philly hasn't had that opportunity yet to actually get there. So they're still going to be very green and very raw. So
we'll see what happens with that. And Sunday with the TBAs, who do you think that
I were guessing with who we're going to go, we're probably going to pitch Ryan Pepio. That's who I would say it's going to be.
Pepio. That's Ryan Pepio. Ryan Pepio.
Yeah, Ryan Pepio. Yeah.
How's he?
Pretty good. He came in and relieved a game the other day after the Dodgers had done that. They had done a young starter, and he came in after and pitched about 4.5 innings, had really good stuff. Again, he's still very young, so he just needs to have more conviction with his pitches, and I think if he can do that, then he's fine. As far as Gonsolin goes, Gonsolin has found a different gear this year. Whether he keeps it, I don't know. We always fear, and this has always been a fear, as you can hear my Charlie in the background. I always fear with every Dodger, if you can get through the first inning, it seems like we can progress from there. The first inning is always just kind of that, yeah. So yeah, that first inning has always been a mystery with every Dodger pitcher.
Yep. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens in the next 3 days. Okay, good having you on the program again. We're running out of time.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking baseball with you, man.
Oh, we'll do it again, I'm sure, maybe this season still. You know, if we end up playing the Dodgers, we'll talk about the aftermath of that when it happens. All right, Mark.
If we get to the playoffs, I hope we get to talk again.
So. Okay. Okay. If not, have a good off season.
Thank you. Appreciate it, sir.
All right. And I thank you all for giving me a listen again today. And to everybody that's listened to the podcast throughout the season, a big thank you. And we'll try and get one done for you next week, too. If I can manage to not get into another accident and hit my head on the concrete. We'll see you next time. Watch your backs, take care of yourselves, and keep your mind and your heart open.